sucks.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Top of the morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from an absolutely beautiful, gorgeous Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and it is freezing here. It's like 46. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 8th, 2011, episode 267, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
Dave, tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's fall, and it's, you know, for a lot of people, I know, Jennifer, fall is one of your favorite times of the year. Not so much with me. I kind of like spring better, but it is pretty here right now. All the leaves are changing, and all the trees are brightly colored, and it is pretty right now, and it gets up into the 60s, and it's wonderful. And actually, Jamie, we are warmer than you this morning.
That's amazing. I will say that reading all the reports from Galway Downs, Samantha was over there doing some reporting and came back and said how nice it is to not be in different shades of brown anymore and to be in the color. And I'm like, yeah. Girl, I feel you because I lived that. It is the city of Phoenix and the state of Arizona and Southern California, just in that far, all just different shades of brown. I miss
Jennifer. Jennifer's never been to Southern California before, and I think when we go out to Norco, she's going to be shocked at how brown everything is.
Well, I'm driving, and it's like I need to see something in color while I'm driving out there because it's all brown.
How many shades of brown can you have? Well, we have a ton of stuff coming up on today's show, and Jennifer has a lot to do, so let's go to Jennifer right away, find out. And then we can talk about some of the cool stuff that happened.
On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we are pretty darn sure somebody's wife knows everything, and she's available for adoption. Yahoo! Anna Ford from New Vocations Horse Adoptions is going to be here first thing this morning to tell us all about that, and our regular listeners to the show will know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you newbies, you're just going to have to wait. Then Ballard's Saddle Company of Norco, California, will be here to enlighten us on making custom Western saddles, which they've been doing for many, many years. And if none of you, or for those of you who have not tuned into the custom Western saddle business, they can double as fine art in your living room. They are just drop-dead gorgeous, and from what I hear, pretty darn useful, too. And to round out the show, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer is here with the Tuesday European Report, and it looks like they've got some really cool stuff to talk about. So stay tuned.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. My daily Winnie's a pretty simple one. We have a listener with a birthday. Her name is Tracy Worthington Ginn, and happy birthday, Tracy. But we wish that you have a good horsey day. Give your horse a hug for us today. And now it's your turn.
Well, this one goes out to another listener of ours. Angela Bailey sent me the funniest email yesterday. I didn't even remember saying this, but she's absolutely right. She says, I just started listening to the Horse Radio Network, and one of the shows from August or September, you said the only way you would win money at an event, horse trial, would be if you found a dollar on the ground. And she says, well, guess what? She found a dollar yesterday at the Wardaka Starter Horse Trials. So she said she immediately thought of us, and don't give up hope. I might find a dollar at a horse trial yet. So way to go, girl. You won money at an event. You found a dollar on the ground. It's the only way to do it.
That's sad.
One more.
You know what that means?
What?
That means somebody lost a dollar at the event.
Well, you go there expecting to lose money. I mean, that's the main thing. It doesn't matter. All right. Well, this daily whinny I give with a heavy heart. Unfortunately, Uncle Mo did not come out of the Breeders' Cup race feeling tip-top. He apparently was having some liver enzyme problems that were elevated, which is exactly why they had to give him the time off and not run him in the Derby. So before he gets really sick, they just decided that they were going to retire him. So Uncle Mo, we wish you the best. He is heading over to Ashford Stud. But I must say that go look on his Facebook page. They have posted pictures of him already. He's posted pictures of himself at the new barn.
So he's there already? He's at Ashford already?
He's there already. I mean, they were going to take him there, I think, to rest him anyway. So, you know, who knows? They might have had it planned already. You never know. But I found out about this breaking news, not from the Daily Racing Form, not from the Blood Horse, not from the news. I found out about it from actually Uncle Mo himself. So I'm going to read you a little excerpt from his Facebook page. And this is what he wrote yesterday, because he is totally like just like anybody else. Sorry, guys. The results of the test were not what we were looking for. I feel good, and I'm eating, and my attitude is good, but Uncle Mike, Uncle Todd, and the doctors don't want me to get sick again like last time. Uncle Mike and Uncle Todd told me that I am one of the greatest two-year-olds of all time, and no matter what, I will always be an undefeated champion. I know I took you guys through some real highs and lows and exciting roller coaster rides, and I'm sorry that ride ended quicker than we wanted. The roller coaster rides are a lot more fun and exciting and exhilarating than a merry-go-round. Even though I'm excited about going back to a farm and enjoying my days in a beautiful paddock, I'm going to miss all my friends at the track. I don't really feel like I'm retiring. I just feel like I'm graduating from racing. So thanks for your support and stay in touch. Love, Uncle Mo.
Oh,
yeah, I don't feel too bad for him. He gets to go back and be a stud for a while. That's not a bad gig.
Well, you know, and then you hear that, okay, he's going to go be a stud, but he's got a liver disease, basically. But I did read yesterday that the liver disease, it is not passed on. It is not genetic. So they're thinking that Mike Rapoli was quoted yesterday saying that the liver ailment is not genetic and it shouldn't be passed on. Now, who knows? I mean, you know, you're going to take a chance. Would you breed to Uncle Mo or would you breed to an older, more proven horse? You know, it just depends. I guess depends on what the price is.
Either way, he gets to stand around in the lap of luxury, doesn't he? After being at Lane's End and you see how these stallions live, it's not too bad a life.
You get to lay around and have women presented to you every day.
in a palace. Bad. I mean, the breeding shed was more like a breeding palace. Kind of nice.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, how I end the show, and I'm sure new listeners are going, why does he say see you at Peelers at the end of every show? Well, see you at Peelers is actually a racehorse of a different kind. This particular kind pulls a sulky. And see you at Peelers started her career with 22 consecutive victories and then lost the last three races, and they weren't quite sure what was going on. Well, after the last race where she came in 14 lengths behind, which is unheard of. This horse won everything. 22 consecutive victories is kind of unheard of in that world. And we remember we had the trainer on, and the trainer said after the last race, Jimmy Tactor, he took a look and said, there's something wrong with this picture. He took her pulse rate, and it was at 140, which normally after a race is at 85.
So, wow.
They knew there was something wrong with this horse, and basically what they've done is they've retired the horse for the rest of the year into next year, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. They've stopped all the medication. They've stopped everything, just given this horse time off, and they're hopefully going to race her. She's only 3 years old. They're hopefully going to race her at four. They said that she would have an incredible year if whatever this is goes away. She'll have an incredible year next year, and it would be great for the sport, but he will not race her unless she is absolutely healthy, and he did say that. So see you at Peeler's is also in a semi-retirement state to see what happens with her health, and we wish her the best. And that's what's up with see you at Peeler's.
Oh, man, it's just – that's got to be so frustrating. But, you know, good for him for knowing his horse. He thought – okay, there's something wrong, let's stop. And
right.
I think we're seeing, you know, with a lot of these horses that are kind of in the limelight, it can be very frustrating to these owners who want to keep going and keep winning. And just like Mike Rapoli and Jimmy Tactor, who owns See You at Peeler's, it's going to be frustrating to stop these horses in the midst of what is just an amazing run. And, you know, it's good for them. I think we're seeing some good horsemanship with these guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, probably 30 years ago they would have pushed them, and here they're not. So you're absolutely
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And to be able to run liver enzyme tests, and with Jimmy Tactor they'll probably do EKGs and heart tests, and you know, who knows? You can spend so much money on these horses, and I think they really do. They want to do right by them. It's cool.
Hey, speaking on the other end of the scale, you remember we talked to the guy from Ireland about his event auction? Do we have any reports on that? How that went?
We certainly do. Remember the Gore's Bridge Gopher Gold event horse sale that was in Ireland? We had the Irish guy on with the coolest accent ever. And he was telling us, and I think I picked, out of the 40 horses, I think there was about 23 that...
Yeah.
I said I definitely want, I don't know if I actually picked the highest priced one, but 36 horses were sold. So only four were not sold. 36 horses. And the top price was 47,000. Is that a pound or is that a euro? I think that's a pound. Yeah. Which is $64,662. And it is for a horse named Red Curran, a 5-year-old son of the Irish draft stallion. You've heard this line if you know Irish horses at all, Murphy's Irish Diamond. The that horse was the highest price, but the average price for the horses was $24,000. People came
wow.
to this sale. They did not need our help because people came to this sale from the United States, United Kingdom, several European countries, and all the way from Asia. I didn't know eventing was really that big in Asia. I mean, maybe I'm just not on top of it, but the fact that people flew in from Asia, that's so cool for eventing. These horses were ridiculous. That is, and these are unproven, untested horses. All averaging $24,000.
Well, good for him. You know, he had an idea and he went for it, and look, people showed up. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is nothing compared to what's been going on at Keeneland the past couple
and
of days.
Let's talk about that in a couple of minutes. We have our guest on the line here. So let's talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to hold her up.
Okay. So before we get to our guest, I want to ask our listeners, how many of you remember this?
They're off. Little Miss Macho had a bit of an awkward start. My wife knows everything broke well. Lady Mutata is up and on the pace. Rojo's Tune is out third. The wife doesn't know. Fourth to the outside. And Alini's Hope is fifth as they move for the first turn. On the far outside, Little Miss Macho is going up. After that tardy start, all the way up to battle with the leaders. On the lucky side is next. A ground-saving trip for Morningside Heights. Late for class in Miss Tallahassee or in the back of the field as Lady Mutata leads the way to the backstretch. And Little Miss Macho is second through a quarter of 24 2/5 seconds. and they're coming after Lady Mutata coming to the quarter pole. Lady Mutata in front. Here come My Wife Knows Everything, and The Wife Doesn't Know on the far outside. Little Miss Macho is fourth. They're into the stretch. Lady Mutata, My Wife Knows Everything. Center of the track, The Wife Doesn't Know. Into the final furlong, My Wife Knows Everything. The Wife Doesn't Know. They're 1-2. Of course they are. My Wife Knows Everything in front. To the outside, The Wife Doesn't Know. My Wife Knows Everything. The Wife Doesn't Know. My Wife Knows Everything. More than The Wife Doesn't Know.
Still makes me laugh. So funny. Of course, that's Larry Kalmus. And I really think because of this race, he now calls the Kentucky Derby and he called the Belmont. I mean, the guy got famous because of this horse. Now, we have this horse. My Wife Knows Everything. And guess what? You can own her. You can own this internet sensation, My Wife Knows Everything. And we're going to have Anna Ford on the line to tell us about it. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
So tell everybody where you are and what you do and how you have this fantastic horse.
Well, she's at our program called New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. We're actually the largest thoroughbred and standardbred adoption program in the country. We've got six different facilities, and she's actually at our Ohio facility in Marysville, Ohio. And she has been with us for almost 2.5 months, going on 3 months. And she's currently, you know, in training, looking to go on to a second career.
So tell everybody about New Vocations.
Okay. Basically, our mission is to rehab, retrain, and rehome retired racehorses. We are not a retirement farm. A lot of people get us confused with a retirement facility. We're an adoption facility. So every horse that comes to our program comes in and is rehabbed, retrained, and rehomed. We've placed over almost, it's up to 3,500 horses into adopted homes since 1992 when we started.
No kidding. That's fantastic. So when you place these horses, I know a lot of adoption facilities will not, I don't know if it's will not let you sell the horse again, but what is your rule on that? Because a lot of people, you know, they adopt the horse out and might lose track of them.
Sure. We have on our website, which is horseadoption.com, we have a contract that has to be signed with every horse that's adopted, and the contract is basically, in a nutshell, you can't sell the horse for a year. We do put the stipulation on that because if we didn't have any type of contract or whatnot, we would just be a horse dealer, really. And so, you know, we're way more than that. We're raising funds to retrain, rehab, and get these horses into good homes. For that 1 year contract, we do follow the horses and require at least 3 updates. And so it's our way to make sure that once we adopt the horse out, I mean, we do screen the applicants really well to make sure that they can not only afford a thoroughbred, but that they can also handle a thoroughbred and continue the training that we've started with them. And so during that year, we monitor to make sure that they're being properly taken care of and that they are able to excel in a second career. And if for some reason they're not able to do one of those things, you know, they can't financially afford them, or it's just not, you know, thoroughbreds aren't for everyone. I mean, they're phenomenal horses, phenomenal athletes. If for some reason someone, you know, changes their mind, the horse can come back to us. So after that year, if they've been able to keep us updated and the horse has been in a good situation and they've been able to retrain, continue the training on the horse, and then they want to, you know, they've started it in show jumping or dressage or whatnot, and, you know, after a year they want to sell the horse, they are able to do that. We just have a first right of refusal is all.
Gotcha. You know, and I really like that because I was looking at a rescue and that's in Southern California yesterday, a little closer to me. Don't say anything, Glenn. Yes, I might have been online shopping for rescue service.
That's what you need, another horse.
But I would, their contract said that you can never sell the horse ever, which I think is a deterrent for people when you, you start to think about adopting a horse. You know, these guys are very expensive, and they, you know, they last 30 years. But on the opposite side of that, I have a horse that I adopted, and I continue to call the place, and they're like, they're shocked every time I call them and let them know how my horse is doing, and they really don't care at all. So I love the fact that you guys have, you know, kind of the middle of the road. Like, we, you can't sell them for a year, much like the Mustang adoptions. You can't sell them for a year and continue the training, because when you continue the training, education for horse is only going to improve its life. The future life, the current life, the more educated these horses get and the better they get and the more stuff they're able to do, the better the rest of their life is going to be. You know, a 17-year-old horse that's never really had anything done is not going to be taken as well care of as a former campaigner. So I really appreciate that part of your new vocations contract. Now, let's get to this horse that everybody's talking about. How did you come to acquire My Wife Knows Everything?
Well, I don't know if you looked up her information, but she was bred by Shamrock Stable, or Lucky Shamrock. And I'm good friends with them, and the mare was claimed off of them. And one thing with Lucky Shamrock, and that's Kim Zito, she always puts stickers on the back of her jockey club papers on all the horses that they breed and race. And the sticker says, you know, if this horse ever needs a home, please contact me. So after her last race at Finger Lakes, I think it was on July 28th, up at Finger Lakes, the owner or trainer, I believe it was the trainer, pulled her jockey club papers and saw the sticker, called Kim, and then Kim called us to see if we could take her. So that's how we got her. And so we, you know, we took her to our layup facility and just gave her some downtime, let her relax. She was, you know, very racy, very kind of light, you know, wasn't as filled out as we, you know, had wanted. And now she looks phenomenal. You can go on her website and see her current pictures and whatnot. But she's doing very well. So that's how we got her. And I know there's other people that have done similar things with the jockey club papers. It doesn't always work because obviously people have to look at the papers to make the call. But, you know, we get a handful a year from donors that have gotten calls from trainers or owners that saw their stickers on the back of the papers.
Well, what a great thing as a breeder, and to try to be responsible for the horses that you're sending out into this world. I think that's one of the problems with the thoroughbred industry is a lot, you know, you breed them and then you sell them and you never do anything again about them. So I think that's fantastic. What's the name of that breeder again?
It's Lucky Shamrock.
Lucky Shamrock. Okay, I'm going to recommend them. That's great. I love that they do that. Now, the pictures of this mare, she's actually stinking cute under saddle.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She is cute. I agree.
Well, and I wanted to put out there, I know that, and I haven't looked in the last 2 weeks, but maybe you guys could look quickly. The wife doesn't know. Last time I checked was running and maybe 5,000 claiming rank. Have you guys checked out the other fillies?
No,
we have not. We'd really like to get her. We've put some feelers out to let them know that when she's done, we'd like to get her through the program too, because we thought it'd be really cool to have both of them.
Yeah, that would be really cool. You know, and I find it kind of sad in a way. This horse actually ran 18 starts, placed in 8 of them, won $69,000. You're right, her last race was in July. And here she is up for adoption for you for $400. You know, in a way, I'm glad, because she's going to end up getting probably a pretty cool home with an eventer or somebody. But, you know, in a way, it's kind of sad, too, that they do all of this and they end up, you know, there. It just, in a way, it's kind of sad. But
I'll tell you what. You know, the value does drop. I mean, we've had horses come through the program that someone spent at Keeneland, you know, $800,000, and then now they're $800 at our program. And it's you know, it's just obviously as racehorses, their value can drop, you know, very quickly.
Right.
We all know.
And well, I think that's just the nature of the thing.
And that's part of it. That's part of it because, you know, as a person, I've bought horses off the racetrack, and these trainers will say, oh, yeah, this, you know, this horse is $5,000. I'm like, no. This horse, if it's running, is maybe worth $5,000. This horse coming into my world, it would be starting over, and it's worth, you know, whatever somebody's going to pay, and it ain't going to be $5,000-$10,000, you know, as a track horse. And so that is part of it that these guys have to understand. Now, with $400 as the adoption fee, that cannot be the way that you guys as a rescue are paying the bills.
No. We don't. I mean, our adoption fees are probably the lowest for most programs across the board. The reason why we do that is because we could put a $1,000 adoption fee on this filly, and we might have her for another 3 or 4 months. Or we can put a $400 adoption fee on her and have her placed within a month. And at the end of the day, we're ahead. As soon as she gets adopted, another horse gets her stall. So we don't make money or raise money through the adoption fees. All of our support comes from private donations and fundraisers and grants that we do throughout the year.
Yeah, and
well,
and
I'll tell you what, Jamie, I'm going to tell Jennifer that she needs to call about this this filly because she is cute as a dickens. And this is Jennifer's kind of horse. She's always done the best with mares. We've had so many thoroughbred mares that just look like her. She has kind of that fine look with a really petite face. And I just love this look. We might be calling you, Anna.
Okay.
Wait a second. Hold up. Let's back that train up a little bit. Glenn, are you telling me that you're about to adopt an off-the-track, very famous, worthy thoroughbred for your wife? Are you telling me that right now, that you want to adopt her?
Well, let me clarify that to begin with, is I don't do anything for my wife that she doesn't want to do. Let's clarify. because I've been married 25 years, and that's how I've stayed married. 25 years.
Wait, now, being married 25 years, Glenn, would you think that your wife would want this horse?
It would be a great Christmas present, wouldn't it?
It would! Do it! I love it. Okay, we're going
to
adopt the horse.
You'll have to let us know quickly, because we put her up for adoption, I think, yesterday or the day before yesterday, and we've already got a ton of interest. So
I bet you had, too. And after this show, you're going to have a ton more.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Hey, you know what else is a great idea that Jennifer reminded me of is if you want My Wife Doesn't Know, if you go onto the Jockey Club website, or I think it's thoroughbredconnect.com.
Yeah, thoroughbredconnect. Yep.
Yeah, put her on there. Put that you want her.
Yeah, we can do that. It's again, it's kind of like the stickers. They have to actually look at it. So
that's true.
We were calling them directly, you know, to let them know that we were interested. So
that's right. You guys probably have, like, you know, you could probably do that.
Hey, Jamie, I got to tell you, too, I've known people that have worked with New Vocations, and they've never had any trouble at all. You know, it comes highly recommended from people I know that have dealt with you guys. So, I just also want to thank you for all the good work you're doing. It's a terrific organization. My Wife Knows Everything is just one of several, many horses that are listed here. So, you know, definitely check it out. Now, My Wife Knows Everything is in Marysville, Ohio at this point, correct?
That's correct. Yep, Marysville,
okay.
Ohio.
That's not too far from here. So,
yep.
Just saying.
We're going to go do it. So we need something on the West Coast. We need a New Vocations on the West Coast because currently you guys are in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee, correct?
Yes, that's correct. There are, you know, there are many programs on the West Coast as well. I know that if you go to Karma's website, they list all the different retirement and adoption facilities that they support. So I know there is a good group of facilities out there that, you know, you could check out. New Vocations ourselves, we don't have one out there. It's just been more of a geographical thing. We're very, every one of our facilities is like, is we're a very tight-knit group, and we work very closely together. And so geographically, right now, we're not set up to be able to be that, to be, you know, however many thousands of miles apart. But, you know, not to say that we wouldn't down the road.
Well, I'm going to brag on you just a little bit, Anna Ford, for a minute, because I'm on your website right now, and I was thinking, you know, I would love to get, like, a New Vocations hat or something like that. And I look on here, and you are a published author, woman. You weren't even plugging your book. And I've just seen this book everywhere, and I've wanted it forever. It's called Beyond the Trek, Retraining the Thoroughbred from Racehorse to Riding Horse. And it was by Anna Ford. It's available on horseadoption.com. It's $30, no postage. They pay the postage for you. So everybody go check out Anna's book. Oh, my God, you didn't even mention that.
Yeah, I don't like to, you know, I don't want to brag. But it is a good book, and we put it out there. I wrote it a couple years ago because adopters were coming back with the same questions all the time, and I was tired of emailing the same answers back, and it was one of those things where we thought, well, if we put it all in a book, when people start asking questions about, you know, how to retrain the thoroughbred, we can say, hey, it's all in this book. You need to read the book. So that's why we put that out there. And it we've sold over 5,000 copies. I think it's close to 7,000 right now. So it's been very good, very successful.
Well, congratulations on everything. And thank you for what you're doing for these special friends of ours that work very hard at a young age and then need the rest of their life. They need to be taken care of. So thank you for doing that. Glenn is going to call you. He's going to adopt. My wife knows everything. And you've got to do it right now, Glenn, because she's going to go fast. Everybody, please go to horseadoption.com. Anna, thank you so very much for being on the show.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, very, very soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Glenn, you've got to do it.
Yeah, well, as I said, I have to have my wife's approval to do anything because that's the way horse husbands are. We have no spine because we're not allowed to.
Wife, are you there? Approve.
Actually, go ahead.
I said, if you save my wife knows everything, then that opens up another stall. Like Anna said, it opens up another stall to
save another
one. You know
what we could do, too? We could make her like the Horse Radio Network mascot horse.
I love it.
Perfect. The name is perfect for a Horse Radio Network mascot horse. My wife knows everything. It's just everything about it's perfect.
You could expense it.
And then I
can
get Beaker back.
Write it off.
Teach him how to drive. All right, let's talk about our sponsor, Jamie.
Dude, Jen, I need an answer.
I'm not going to answer the sponsor. Go ahead.
I'm not going to do the sponsor till you give me an answer.
About?
Are you going to adopt the horse or not? Your husband wants to adopt it.
Well, we have to go through the screening process first. We might not
be
approved.
We might be declined, I'm sure.
I'm going to call Anna and put in a good word for you.
Okay, we'll use her as a reference, okay?
Okay, you guys. Well, I'll go ahead and we'll have to raise the money for my wife knows everything somehow, so I'll do the sponsor. Pfizer Animal Health is our sponsor today, and they recommend that all horse owners ensure their horse is properly vaccinated. So Pfizer Animal Health equine vaccines are backed by an equine immunization support guarantee. Pfizer Animal Health will support a reasonable diagnostic and treatment cost up to $5,000 if a horse properly vaccinated by a veterinarian with one of its antigens contracts the corresponding equine disease. So say you vaccinate your horse for EEE, WEE, or VEE, tetanus, or equine influenza, and your horse comes down with it, they will help you out. Talk to your veterinarian today about the Pfizer Animal Health Equine Immunization Support Guarantee, or you can learn more about it at PfizerAnimalHealth.com, PfizerAnimalHealth.com.
Thank you, Jamie. Our next guest is from Norco, and as everybody knows that listens to the show, we're going to be going there in a few weeks. And this guest does something a little different out there in Norco.
They have a, oh, by the way, it's called Ballard Saddle Tack and Repair Shop. And I know that with Jamie and Jennifer along, it's going to be one of the places that we're going to have to stop when we're in Norco, because one thing, I saw handbags there, and Jennifer does not go to a little town without stopping at the store that has handbags. It's just a thing she's got. She's like the Imelda Marcos of handbags. So we'll
oh,
be
she's the only woman
there.
I know like that. She's the only
and
woman
then,
I know who does that. Jeez.
And then there's clothing and stuff, which means Jamie will have to be stopping there because she's into all the cute clothing. So I know that this is going to be a stop on our trip. And we have Darlene with us this morning. Good morning, Darlene.
This is Darlene.
Darlene.
Good morning to you.
Okay, good. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, I appreciate you getting up so early and joining us today, and I wanted to talk to you. You guys do some interesting stuff there at Ballard's, and I wanted to talk to you about that. And one of them is you actually do custom saddles. How did you guys get into the custom saddle business?
Oh, Tommy's done that for many a year. He decided that he wanted to make something somebody else didn't have, so... and saddlery, you know, is handmade saddlery is almost a lost art when you get into making custom saddlery. It's maybe how someone wants it or some idea that you have yourself. And we have saddles that are made that no one else has. They're not like anybody else's.
Right. And but you know what, too? You know what, though? I could say I want to do something that nobody else has, and I could get out my leather working equipment, and I would end up with something that doesn't look even close to a saddle. So, you know, there has to be some kind of talent there to begin with.
Well, yeah, we have a fantastic, his name's Margarito, and he's learned the art from his father, and he does the custom saddles. He does them right there in the store. A good portion of the time, he can do just about anything you show him, and we're very fortunate to have him. So
I met over the weekend. I met an English saddle maker from England who was explaining to me how they do their custom saddles, and it is a true art. And you guys, I mean, you take it because it's a Western saddle. It's, you know, it's even more innate, and it truly does become a piece of art by the time it's done. You don't even want to ride some of these. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, they are. He does do beautiful work, and there are gorgeous saddles out there. That's very true. But leather's very, very durable, so you really, as long as you take care of it, you're not going to harm it. So it's...
Now, what kind of custom saddles do you do?
Well, we have the endurance. We have the roper. We have the barrel saddles. There's a lot of different saddles. So depending on what you need or what you want and how you want it.
And do you fit it to the horse and the rider, or the rider? You know, how does that work?
Yeah. You can bring your horse down if you want. You want to trailer it down, you can ride it down. Because in Norco, everyone
still
rides their
horses. Norco, you can do
that. Yeah, yes, you sure can. I've had people come in. I used to have a corral out in the front of the Western, of the clothing store. And they used to come in and shop and tie their bags up, and on down the trail they'd go. But, yes. They trail the horses in. They come down. They can strap them. They can tie them up on the. There's a piece there that they can tie up, and we fit them right there.
Wow, that's cool.
Pull
that's
out
neat
several
that you're
saddles
able to do that.
At the store. Pardon me.
It's neat you're able to do that. It's neat that you're in a place where people can do that too. You know
that
makes it kind of cool. You know, I was shocked the one day because we're used to the English world more than the Western, although we have a lot of Western listeners. And we were at a Western tack shop one day, my wife and I, this is 20 years ago, and we're waiting in line to check out, and they did custom saddles there too. And, you know, the guy ordered two $15,000 custom saddles. you know, for an English rider to pay $3,000 or $4,000, that's like breaking the bank and something that not too many of us get to do. And there they are ordering $30,000 worth of $2,000. It's
wow.
Just, in some ways, it's a whole different world with some of the riders out there. It's just amazing. Now, I assume you have prices a little less than that, too?
Oh, 15,000. Absolutely. Our custom saddles are, you know, they can be $2,500, $2,700, they could be $2,000. Depends on what you're doing, how much you want on it. You can go more or you can go less. It just depends on what it is you really want.
So, Janie, I have an idea for you. Your husband's coming along. Chad's coming along. He's an Air Force fighter pilot. And he rides now. I saw pictures of him riding. We need to get him a custom Western saddle with F-16s on the side. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be
cool.
Do you have a loan I can get?
Now, I'm sure they could do F-16s because one of the other things I know about your store is that you've done some really cool custom stuff. You've done...
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about some of the weird custom stuff you've done.
Well, there's been, like, handmade crops that's had little hearts on them. There's been, you know, hearts all the way up the leather. There's been, oh, gosh, I can't even think.
Well, I'm taking it, you know, the thing I heard about was the pizza cases for New York Pizza.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they do cases for the government, the divers packs. He does those.
And you've done work for movie studios too. Well, you're right there.
Oh
near
yeah,
the movie
yeah,
studios.
Yeah. We've sold several saddles to the movie studios. Absolutely, that you've done movies with. Mr. Little has come in and bought many of Tommy's saddles for the movies.
So who's the famous person that's ever sat their butt on your saddle?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't say. There's been probably people we didn't even know were famous.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of times people come in, you know how the old saying is, gee, you look like so-and-so, but then they really don't kind of own up to it,
right.
You know. So, yeah, it could be several people, but offhand, I don't really know offhand who would be all that famous. I know Roy Calhoun's wife has been in the store, and I don't know if she sat on a saddle, but she's been in there shopping. So,
well, very good. I got to tell you, we thank you for helping to sponsor our trip out there, and we're looking forward to coming out there. We'll definitely be stopping by because these two like to shop. Not me. I don't like to shop at all, but they do.
Yeah.
I'm saying that very
sarcastically.
Well, I always spend more than my wife does, so I'm trying to be.
And in the
I have
last
a lot of guys
segment.
Like that. I have some guys that are really good shoppers and some women that are really good shoppers. So, and they come from all over. They come from Canada. They come from Europe. They come in from because they have relatives there in Norco. So, and then others have friends. Others have our students and stuff that come through, foreign exchange students and stuff, and they come in town and they're brought into the store. So, yeah, we get them from all over the world in there. They love the Western clothing, the boots. They love looking at the saddles. We've had several Europeans that has bought our saddlery intact and had it shipped over to their home. And we get a lot of Australians. And we get them from all over. It's just it's really wonderful. Nice to have people like that around. And
they're
really
great.
Amazed at the town that they see the horses going up and down the trail, you know, because we have open trails, so you see horses every day up and down. So,
well, we're looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. We'll be there, all and right. we'll get to experience it or for ourselves. It's Ballard Saddles Tack Air Shop.
And Westernwear, yeah.
And it's BallardSaddles.com. And Jennifer's going to post a link to your store on our Facebook page. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right, bye-bye. Well, we got a lot to do. I don't know how we're going to fit all this in 3 days out there.
Glenn, I find it amazing. You're like, oh, I don't like to shop. I'm not a shopper. And you just basically bought a horse in the last segment.
Hey, you know what? I heard from Lisa. Thank you so much to our friend Lisa for helping organize this trip. She told me yesterday that she got the banner, and she has delivered it to the city. And that's the banner that's going to go across Main Street while we're there welcoming us to town. 30-foot banner across Main Street. How about that?
And again, you know, this is going to be a really random story, but the place that I got my chickens the other day, the guy was selling everything on his property. And he's like, do you want a hay cover? Like, it's like a tarp for hay. And I said, no, not really. And I look over, and they're billboards that they have pulled down. And they're actually like painted tarps for their hay cover. So what I'm thinking is that once they're done with the 30-foot banner, you might could take that to your farm and cover your hay.
Actually, you know what's going to happen with the 30-foot banner? I measured my studio, and it'll fit if I wrap it around all the walls across the top, sort of like a border. I'm going to put it as a border around the top of my studio. What do you think?
I think you're going to get divorced. You better buy that horse.
Yeah, but
you're decorating.
Oh, you know what? It might cover up Carrie Underwood. That'd be bad. So
you get a horse. You get a banner. I get a horse. That's fair.
There you go. See, you'll take that deal any day.
I think it is fair. And, you know, I find it, like, really sweet that you're going out and getting her that horse, Glenn. That's a great road trip for you guys this weekend.
We're going to have to make that call, like, right after this. She's going to be popular. We should have never had her on the show. That was a bad move.
They're going to have a bidding war.
Hey, I have a song for you today. Remember I told you yesterday that I heard this song? I heard it actually on satellite radio on one of the comedy stations, Laugh USA, I think. And it's called ADD Cowboy, and it just describes my ADD to them. You're going to love this song. You can't go to the bathroom during the song. You have to listen to it. It's called ADD Cowboy, and it's by R. Bruce Richardson, who I have no idea who he is, but you can buy this song on Amazon, and it's pretty funny, so I want you to listen to it.
I am poster child of attention deficit disorder. This is my little song I wrote about it. Don't try to keep me on task. Don't give me several things to do. And please don't be mad just because I have had some problems with following through. I'm going down to the station, getting on a westbound train. There's a place out there for me called the Circle ADD, where everybody has my kind of brain. Yes, I want to be an ADD cowboy. I want to ride the open range. Leave this rat race for that wide open space where I never have to battle with my brain. And some of the cattle will get branded. Some of the cattle will be missed. And some days we'll ride to town with all of our errands written down. But we'll never, ever do everything on the list. Now this ain't the song that I started. That is so true. I was gonna write a love song just for you, but I got off track. I never did get back. So I'll just say I love you, because I do, yes I do. But I wanna be an ADD cowboy. I wanna ride the open range. There's a place out there for me called Circle ADD, where everybody has my kind of brain. Yes, I want to be an ADD cowboy.
Yeah! Well done. Well done, Glenn.
Is that about me? I get in the middle of a song and I forget what I was singing and start a new one.
I would love for you to start singing. Just start singing.
ADD cowboy. I'm an ADD cowboy. I am. I'm telling you, I'm an ADD cowboy. Well, this thing we call Horses in the Morning is brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health today. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and my lovely wife, Coach Jen, is producing today. The Horse Radio Network show highlight today is Horse Tip Daily, actually, brought to you by Equestrian Collections. And the last episode out was episode number 538, and it's 538 tips, Jamie. That's 538 episodes of Horse Tip Daily. That's a lot. Dr. Richards actually talks about alfalfa. Dr. Richards is a FeedXL, actually. She's the one that does FeedXL.com and invented that. And she talks about, is alfalfa getting a bad rap? And that's all about alfalfa and its evils, or is it good for your horse? So if you want to learn more about alfalfa, hop on over to Horse Tip Daily, episode number 538. You can find that at horseradionetwork.com. So that's the highlight show for the day. So I think I hear Jennifer on the phone, which I think means that she's calling about this horse, don't you think? I'll have to check.
I'm pretty sure that does. You just got yourself a horse.
Hey, guess what? $400 is a hell of a lot cheaper than the auctions that have been going on here in Lexington the last day or two. Oh, my God.
You ain't lying. Hey, I just posted, I can't believe you said that. I just posted something on Facebook about a horse that went, it's almost exciting to watch because you see this horse led into the arena at Kingland. It doesn't look like there's a whole bunch of people in the crowd, and it's a filly by Medaglia d'Oro. So you've got this filly. It's like a weanling. I mean, it's a really pretty weanling, but it kind of comes in. It's probably, you know, going to be a year old in January. And they bring it in, and watching this horse go for auction, you're like, oh my God. Oh, it's like I kept getting punched in the gut repeatedly. And I'll tell you why. Because this filly who walks in the arena, going to be a year old in January, sells for $2.6 million.
Do you want to hear part of it? Do you want me to see if I can get part of it up here to listen to?
Yeah.
Okay. Hit number 201 comes up by Lane's End for the complete dispersal of the estate of Edward P. Evans, Spring Hill Farm, a weanling dark bear bound filly by Medaglia d'Oro, and a quiet dance by Quiet American.
Oh, it's kind
of
cute.
The sire of Horse of the Year, Rachel Alexandra, as well as grade one stakes winning fillies, Plum Pretty and CS Soap this year. Stakes winning and stakes producing Quiet American Bear. Here is a half sister to Horse of the Year, St. Liam, the graded stakes winner, congressional honor. To the current greatest.
Never gonna 50, you never gonna 100, you never gonna 50, now do 152, at 152, 150, you never gonna do, you never gonna do, 152, 152,
153,000 people. 300,000 people. 400 back 50, 400, you never gonna 55, 450, you never gonna 55, 55, 56, I got it back, 600, 7, I got you, Mike, 7, I'm gonna do, you never gonna 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8, 7, 8,
now 1,000,001 now 2 now 3 at 1,000,002 1,000,003 do you never gonna do you never gonna do you never gonna do
I got goosebumps
3 now 3 hey we're cooking now 2 3 at 1,000,002 1,000,003 do you never gonna do you never gonna do you never gonna do 1,000,002 1,000,003
this is a weedling filly
got 1,000,003 4 5 1,000,004 5
the girl
6 where 1,000,005 6 now 7 600 you never gonna 7 600 7 he's got conviction now 7 at 1,000,006 1,000,007 think gonna do you never gonna 7 never gonna do 8 million 9 Oh my, 1,000,008 1,000,009 8 million 9 Whoop, now 2 million. Now 1 2,000,001 at 2,000,001 Now welcome aboard 2,000,001 at 2,000,006 1,000,007 2,000,008 1,000,009 2,000,010 2,000,011 2,000,012 2,000,013 2,000,014 2,000,015 2,000,016 2,000,017 2,000,018 2,000,019 2,000,020 2,000,021 2,000,022 2,000,023 2,000,024 2,000,005 2,000,006 2,000,007 2,000,008 2,000,009 2,000,010 2,000,011 2,000,012 2,000,013 2,000,014 2,000,015 2,000,016 2,000,017 2,000,018 2,000,019 2,000,020 2,000,021 2,000,022 2,000,023 2,000,024 2,000,005 4,000,000 2,000,005 4,000,000 2,000,006 2,000,007 2,000,008 2,000,009 2,000,010 2,000,011 2,000,012 2,000,013 2,000,014 2,000,015 2,000,016 2,000,017 2,000,018 2,000,019 2,000,020 2,000,021 2,000,022 2,000,023 2,000,024 2,000,005 4,000,000 That's Mike's way. Thank you. Good luck.
Oh, my God.
That's
you think
really...
these auctioneers start out doing little auctions, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, and then they have to learn to say million later? Then they... hey, somebody wants to type in on this. I think he was there, actually. Alan from the Western Radio Show. Alan Moorhead, were you at this auction? Were you the one bidding? You quit
it? Absolutely not. I mean, for 2.6, the son of a gun better clean its own stall, come inside and make my bed and cook my dinner and clean up the dishes.
Now, Alan, I appreciate that, but I would like to point out that you are the one who always says, you got to start riding Western. That's where the money's at. Western's bull crap because it is in the thoroughbred world, my friend.
Well, you're the one that always says, God, we got to start doing that because we don't make tiddlywinks over here in the English exercise and stuff like that.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. I'm not stopping doing what I'm doing. You should go ride racehorses.
Shoot. My big old fat butt, I'd weigh them down. If I was to get on any of them, they'd all be as slow as Uncle Mo was this past Saturday.
Oh, dang. Why you got to kick a brother when he's down, okay?
And the thing of it was how they just kept playing the ending in slow motion. I mean, it was cool. And, you know, I was working a PBR in Aiken, South Carolina, and it happened to be that our PBR was starting at 8. The Breeders' Cup ran at, what, just after 7, and we showed it on our big screen to the PBR fans that were just walking in. It was really cool. It was really good. It was a tight race.
Yeah, but not if you weren't rooting for Uncle Mo, huh?
I was waiting for the bad pun. About Uncle Mo at the end of that story.
Oh, yeah, they're going to change his name to Slow Mo, I guess. I don't know. It's just,
there's
a bunch
of,
you know.
Actually, they could now change. He's going to be retired. I don't know if you heard, Alan, but they're retiring him now because of health issues. So he's going to become Horny Mo right now. That's his new name.
Lucky Mo.
Lucky Mo, yeah, that'll be it.
Yeah.
Call him Lucky Mo.
Well, what they need to do is just go ahead and adopt that horse you were talking about earlier that my wife knows everything and put it in the stall with Uncle Mo. Let him feel some of our misery. I mean, you know, you're not going to eat that hay, are you? You're not going to wear that saddle, are you? There's a parking space over there. There's a parking space over there. Go park there. Where are you going? Just stop and ask directions. And I think what happened was on that deal, they actually sent the paperwork in, and there just weren't enough letterboxes on there because there was supposed to be Think She. It was supposed to be my wife thinks she knows everything.
You're right. They ran out of letters.
Yeah, I, you know, and so they sent it back like that, and, it, I mean, it is what it is, but, I mean, heck fire. I guess I thought they might have, when I kind of came in late on that, when you're talking about horse adoptions off the racetrack, I says, Lord, they're doing that to Uncle Mo already? He loses one?
Were you calling for a reason, you big jerk, or what? Okay.
I just was calling to give your mother something to complain to you about somebody giving you a hard time.
Okay, she's listening right now, and she is so mad at you, it's not even funny.
Okay, I love that, Alan. Now she won't be mad at me for one day. I get one day off.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I heard on your anniversary show, I heard, I guess it was Jamie saying something about at the time that her mother was mad at you about this and that. And I said, well, I guess that was giving me a break. Because I hadn't called in for a while, but I didn't mention the Oompa Loompa thing at the anniversary thing or anything like that. So I thought that was way cool. But
I can't hear you, Alan. Hi, I'm Alan. Losing the connection. Hello, Alan. You there?
I'm here.
Can't hear you.
Yeah.
Sorry,
we're
cutting in and out. We gotta let you go.
Thank you, Alan. WesternRadioShow.com.
It's my show. Get off. Because I have this magic button that just hangs up on him. And you know what? I don't have to listen to this. This is our show, Glenn. And today it's my show, okay?
I've got to admit, though, I haven't laughed this hard all week.
Oh, my God. He's so funny.
Okay, you can pick the
my
next
wife. My wife knows everything in the stall with Uncle Mo. You need that, hey? Are you going to wear those shoes? Really?
I can't believe you're making out with her. She's ugly.
Oh, my God. That would ruin his breeding career. I love it.
I'm sure that Victoria is going to be so happy she's up next.
Oh, Victoria Spicer, our friend from horseandcountry.tv, coming on the show with us. Victoria, it's been a little bit of a crazy day. We have been all over the place, and I know that we're going to talk a little about some serious stuff with you. So first of all, before we get started on that, hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you both?
Well, we're doing good. We're doing all right. We're recovering from Alan, who called in.
Wait a minute. I got an update before you get to this from your mother. She writes on Facebook, tell Alan, break's over.
Love my mom. So awesome. Mama,
sorry.
I'll give you his number. I'm sure I have it
sorry,
somewhere.
Sorry, Victoria.
I don't mind at all.
You wouldn't guess this is a morning show. You would think we had three martinis at lunch, wouldn't you?
Probably. Four martinis for breakfast, maybe, instead.
Yeah, he doesn't know we don't do that, Victoria. I mean, what time is it over there? We could drink together.
It's 3 o'clock, so it's after lunch. Perfectly entitled to have a martini, I think.
Let's start boozing. Hey, I saw something on your Facebook page that actually made me laugh out loud. It's a sign that you posted, and you said something about, where was that sign? And explain to everybody what that was.
I was in the supermarket last night, and I looked up, and there was a sign saying polish, and then it said toilet cleaners, and I just thought that was slightly offensive when you read it as Polish toilet cleaners. So I took a picture of it, and lots of people have been commenting on Facebook about it. So.
Are they better than the English one?
Oh, my. It was so funny. It said Polish toilet cleaners. And it was, like, clearly supposed to say polish and then toilet. The way it read was just perfect. Like, we have in America a guy named Jay Leno, okay? And he does these shows about really, like, signs that you see that don't really mean what they're supposed to mean. You've got to send that to him.
I think I should. It's not the most politically correct sign, but I would like to just say that I was pointing it out because I think Tesco, which is our big supermarket chain over here, I think either somebody has a sense of humour or they just weren't quite awake the morning that they put that sign up.
Hey,
and I didn't know that you have your own website.
I do, yes. I made my own website when when I went freelance, and actually it's made by PagePlay and Abby V. Equine, who I think you've spoken to before.
Yeah,
they are the
yeah.
organizers of the ESMA Awards. So
that's right. And I love the picture of you on your homepage. It's terrific.
Oh, thank you. Me and my little pony, he's still away. He's about 2 hours up north from where I am. He's been recovering from his injury. So I like to look at my website occasionally and remember when I had him near here and I could ride him every day.
Aww.
Aww.
Well, let's get to the actual stories that you actually called us to talk about so you don't get in trouble. but, of course, all these, you can find them on horseandcountry.tv. Now, we have talked about Hickstead, the horse that passed away after a show jumping round this past weekend. But you guys, and I feel like I'd love to get your take on it because I feel like you guys are the ones that introduced us to Hickstead, coming on and talking about the stories about this horse. And I know that it's a Canadian horse, but for some reason, it's just very popular over in Europe, isn't it?
Well, he is named after the showground in West Sussex in England that I also work for when I'm not on horse and country duty. And yes, apparently when he was bred, he used to be called Opal, I think, and they changed his name to Hickstead when he went through a stallion grading. And so I think British people have always felt this affinity with him because he's named after one of our most famous showgrounds, and everybody's just followed his career, and he's been an absolute phenomenon. So it was so sad to read the news about him collapsing and dying at the weekend. And I was watching on Twitter when the news broke, and I put up a story on Horse and Country, and just people flooded to our website to such an extent that it actually went offline for 20 minutes or so just because of the amount of people wanting to find out about him. And being working with Hickstead as well, so many people have posted on the Hickstead Facebook page saying how sorry they were about him, and I think they're slightly confusing Hickstead the showground with Hickstead the horse, but it's just been but it's been really nice. And I think you know, as the Bunn family, who own and run Hickstead the showground, have just been saying it's such an honor to share their name with an amazing horse like him. And so, very sad news.
Yeah, very sad. I can't believe it crashed y'all's server. But maybe the guys at Hickstead, and since you work there, you can talk to them about it. Get one of those big statues of the horse. Put it out there. Have like a big... Yeah, okay. That was
definitely
my idea. I'm on credit.
And when, because I do the press for that show, and so I was writing all the articles for the Hickstead program this summer, and we actually wrote a piece. That's how I know all about his name and when it got changed. And I finished the article by saying, you know, the only thing that would make it complete is if Hickstead the Stallion came to compete at the showground that shared his name. And now it looks like it's never going to happen. So it's very sad.
That is really sad. And I didn't know that about his name. I just thought it was ironic that, you know, we talked to you guys about Hickstead the show and Hickstead the horse. I had no idea that he was named after the showground. So that's really cool. And it is sad that he never got to compete there. But, you know, we'll definitely be keeping everybody up to date on what is going to happen and the obviously autopsy reports and all that. But to move on, you guys have a story about a Paralympic rider, and we haven't done this, a Paralympic rider that made history.
Yes, absolutely. She's called Sophie Wells. And she is one of, I think, the only para rider ever to compete on a team. She competed at the Young Rider European Championships as an able-bodied rider, and she's also a Paralympic gold medalist, having competed, I think she's at WEG in 2010. And so she's really incredible. And she's just definitely making a real statement for Paralympic riders that she can compete both in able-bodied and Paralympic sport.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. I hadn't heard the story, and her name again is Sophie Wells, and you can find out more and watch a video interview with her on horseandcountry.tv and check that out there. Another thing is, it's definitely hunt season for you guys.
It is. It's hunting season's kicking off at the moment, and the other big thing is it's national hunt racing season. So, having been watching the Breeders' Cup, and not many of the British horses did very well in the Breeders' Cup last week, but it's all changed here, and now we're going back to jumps racing, which I have to say, I do love flat racing, but jumps racing is where my real passion is. And so this weekend, starting on Friday, we've got a big race meeting at Cheltenham, which is where the Cheltenham Gold Cup is. And that's the biggest festival in jumps racing, which happens every March. And so this is one of the kind of early season schedules. And I'm going to be there for all 3 days, which is very exciting. And basically, it's the first time this jump season that lots of the big names will all be out in force for 3 days of jumping. So, very excited about that.
Well, you mentioned the Breeders' Cup, and I wanted to ask you what you guys thought about Goldakova. Goldakova, obviously a French racehorse, and has run in Europe and European trained, came to the U.S. to try to win the Breeders' Cup mile this year, won it in 2008, 2009, and 2010, trying to win the fourth in a row. She has won, I think, 14 victories, I think, 14 group one races she's won. So she's kind of a big deal. She came over here, I was pulling for her, and then she's the one who basically almost knocked down another one of the horses. So what was your take on that?
She did. I mean, I couldn't watch the race live, and I was watching on Twitter, and all my sort of fellow racing enthusiasts were just saying, oh, Goldakova is going to get thrown out for that. And then, of course, she didn't, and she did stay in the race and hold her third place. But it wasn't quite the going out in style that we'd all hoped for. We thought we really wanted her to win a historic, I think, fourth time. And then she would have gone off to stud on a high. So it wasn't the perfect fairy tale ending, but she's going off to stud now. And I don't know if it's been decided which stallion she's going to go to, but I'm going to be keeping an eye on it. And I have a little secret hope that she'll go to Galileo. And I think that would be definitely a foal to watch.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Now, I've got to ask your actual opinion. Now, I love Goldakova. I think she's a phenomenal horse, and she does deserve a fantastic retirement, only to go see the best sires and the best stud. However, honest to God, deep down in your heart, after watching that race, did you think she should have been bumped to last?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, my partner is a racing journalist, and he's a huge fan of the mare, and he was just like, oh, the Kova should have been disqualified for that. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of her, so I think she was fine. I think she definitely deserved to stay where she
You're
was.
You're allowed to bump anybody you want her to.
Yeah, exactly. She should have won. Other horses were faulty.
admit it, Jamie. If Zenyatta had done the same thing, you would be saying the same thing that Victoria said.
Not even the same story, okay? It's not even the same thing, Glenn. I'm a huge Goldakova fan, but my God, there was some crooked stuff going on that when they did not bump her. But you know what? That's cool. Like, I love reading the excuses that her fans have written online. Like, she was going to make a big surge. And it's just her nature to really try. And so she just made a big surge, and she didn't care who was in her way. She wanted to win. Stuff like that. I'm like, no. Her jockey tried to pull her out of the rail because she was stuck in the one spot. Anyway, it was a great race. Unfortunately, you know, she did not win, and like you said, no fairy tale ending for Goldakova, but I'm pretty sure that the rest of her life will be a fairy tale.
I hope so. Having very beautiful, very fast babies, I hope.
Now, the last thing we can talk to you about here is, actually, we got a couple things. You've talked to a makeup artist, but this makeup artist doesn't do people. This makeup artist does horses. Is that correct?
Well, she's actually an equine artist, and she does very beautiful paintings and drawings. And she just so happened to bump into somebody who was working on the movie War Horse. And they were looking for somebody to provide sketches in the film. And she ended up being taken on as equine artistic advisor, which meant she drew all the pictures that are used in the film. And she was also in charge of making up the 250 horses that were used during filming. So quite an amazing job, really, and a bit of an experience. Definitely a little bit different to the usual job of sitting in front of an easel and just drawing quietly to yourself. So, yeah.
How cool is that? She got to work on a movie?
She did. It was amazing. And Spielberg apparently praised her drawings. And, yeah, so she met all the actors and she got to be on the set. And I think there was a number of horses that played Joey, who's the main equine character in the film. And so they all had to have makeup to look the same. So they all have the same white star and white socks and things. So it's really sweet.
That's really
cool. Wow. Okay. So what was her title again?
Equine Artistic Advisor. So, yes.
Okay. So when the credits are rolling and, you know, when you're in a movie or, you know, somebody in a movie, you're like, oh, we got to watch credits and see their name. And I would imagine that every best boy and gaffer out there sits through the credits to see their name. Now, if you were sitting through the credits and equine, what was it?
Artistic Advisor.
The equine artistic advisor went by, I would laugh. I would be like, what on earth?
She was also head of equine hair and makeup, which I just love. I love the thought of this studio with those mirrors with the light bulbs all around them. 250 horses queuing up to sit in the makeup chair.
You know, that makes me think of what was that calendar they did with the horses with the crazy hair, with like the dreadlocks and the big bouffant hairstyles. That's what that reminds me of, the equine makeup and hair.
Definitely. I think Ali did a very good job of making them look realistic and that they were taking part in the First World War, and there wasn't any kind of perms or Mohican hairstyles sneaking in when somebody got a little bit creative. So
Now, Victoria, are you guys looking forward to this movie? I imagine that just like us, we just can't wait till Christmas. We get it Christmas Day here. I think you're a little bit later, aren't you?
Yeah, we're mid-January, so a little bit longer to wait, but I'm really excited about it. And there's actually a museum at the moment in London, the National Army Museum, and they've got a show called War Horse, Fact and Fiction. So I'm going to be going along to see that, I hope, in the next couple of weeks. And it's all about the film and the play and the book and also the actual real-life role that horses played during the war. So I think it'll be very moving but very interesting.
Terrific. Yeah, we can't wait.
Definitely. It's going to be, for the horse people here, my God, it's just like a holiday when that movie comes out. But before we let you go, we got to talk to you about what is the stableyard dog thing? You have hundreds of people that sent in pictures of their dogs. Is that correct?
Yes. We thought it would be nice to see if anybody had dogs that, you know, like to be at the yard and lend a bit of a hand and spend all day at the stables being security dogs and being useful. And we got inundated with pictures. And I think we've had about 600 shares on Facebook. So if any of our other international listeners would like to send in a picture of their dog, they'd be very welcome to. And if they send a good enough picture, they might make it onto our Yard Dog Hall of Fame. So, yes, we've even had a famous dressage rider called Andrew Gould, who's very big in dressage in Britain, and he sent his dog in. So famous riders are getting in on the act now.
We have to send our dogs in.
Yeah, you have to put them in. But I was going to say, the only thing that horse people like to talk about more than their horses are their dogs. So you knew it was going to be popular.
Definitely. And there's quite an array of pictures of dog sitting in the horse box driving seat, which I find quite odd. So I'm hoping this is just a coincidence and there's not lots of people who are allowing their dogs to do a bit of driving on the side. This worries me a little bit. So, yeah.
Well, lots Victoria, thank you so much for being on with us today. It's Victoria Spicer. co.uk is your website?
Yes, that's right.
But of course, go check out horseandcountry.tv. That's where you can find all these stories and all the updates. And of course, if any breaking news happens over in Europe, that's the place you go. So horseandcountry.tv.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Victoria.
All right, thanks, Victoria. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't bother me. I'm busy looking at dogs. There's a greyhound sitting in the driver's seat. I found one of the ones she was talking about. It's a greyhound sitting in the driver's seat. That's appropriate.
I love looking at these pictures because it's just the epitome of a lab. There's a lab that has found the one puddle in the area and is laying in it.
Of course.
I'm going to go lay in that one little puddle because I'm a lab and I'm supposed to swim. Well,
there's some great cute dogs, and then there's some Chinese crested ones I came across, and I'm sorry. You have to be a mom to think a Chinese crested is cute. Send the emails to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. There's a reason that Chinese crested win the Ugliest Dog of the Year award every single year.
Yeah, I don't really have a comment because if you ask my husband, any dog that is smaller than 50 pounds is worthless.
Mine's close. He would at least sort of agree, like mine then, because
yours counts. He more is thinking like foofy dogs, lap dogs, or like my
Chinese crested.
My dear sweet angel named Brett, she's a border collie, but she's a border collie Sheltie cross, so she's tiny, and she's like 20 pounds, and she thinks she's a cat, and she acts like a cat. She sleeps on the back of the couch, like she totally acts like a kitty, doesn't like getting her feet wet, grooms herself, hates anything about being a dog, and he thinks she's worthless, basically, but she's my baby, and I don't. Like, you can talk, like, I can talk about my dogs, make fun of my dogs, like my family, but you can't. I'll come after you.
All right. I'm going to get off that topic because I don't want to also be, your mother's laying off of me today, so I have to keep it going. Let her be mad at Alan today. I get a day off. I'm just going to be positive. So I said yesterday that they made the announcement for the 2011 America's Favorite Equestrians that was done by the Equus Foundation. This has been voted on for what seems like 10 years. Probably the favorites have changed over the time the voting took place. But it's been about a year, and it was to raise money, and I think they did raise a lot of money, so it was a good thing. And it was the Equus Foundation. So here are the winners, and it's kind of surprising. Let's see how you feel about this, Jamie. For dressage, the runners-up are the three contestants at the end were Gunter Seidel, Debbie McDonald, and Stephen Peters. Now, out of those three, who would you have thought would have won dressage? Now, remember, this is a voting – this is American Idol for equestrian.
I would say that probably out of all of those, I would think Debbie McDonald. Because she would be.
Or Stephen Peters, because he's pretty popular right now.
Yeah.
No, Gunter Seidel. And I don't get that one. We both got that one wrong. Now, driving, we don't know as well, except I do know two of these people. Don't know the third. Rochelle Temple, Chester Weber, and Tucker Johnson. Now, I've interviewed Tucker Johnson and Chester Weber. Chester Weber's perhaps the most famous of all the driving people because he's won so much. His horse was Horse of the Year a couple of years ago by the USDF. So, you know, he's just been out there. And, you know, I think we've had him on this show. We've talked to Chester quite a bit on the Horse Radio Network. And the winner was Rochelle Temple, which totally surprised me. Again, I didn't expect it. But, again, it's voting. So if she had a lot of people voting, that would make a difference. Endurance, I think I got right. The choices were Becky Hart, Julie Sir, and Dave, is it Rabe? I never heard of him, Dave. And the winner was Becky Hart. Now, Becky has ridden over 20,000 miles in endurance competitions.
Wow.
Think about that. 20,000 miles in a endurance competition. That's a lot of riding. She was chef to keep last year for the World Equestrian Games. She's won numerous World Equestrian Game titles. Very famous in the world of endurance. So that one, I think that one was what I would have guessed. Now, eventing, I think, might surprise you. Tiana Caudray, Boyd Martin, and Kimberly Severson. Kim Severson. So who do you think out of those three would win a beauty or a popularity contest?
Boyd Martin.
Tiana Caudray.
Wow. Tiana. Yeah.
Again, I was surprised. Does that surprise you?
She's actually been doing really, really well. Now, again, you have to keep in mind that this is, you know, a $5 donation to make a vote. So I think that in the case of Boyd Martin, where I think he is the most popular, I think I would rather have the donation because of his barn fire. So more of his people probably donated to that. And then Kim Severson, I don't think she's one of the most popular event riders at all.
Well, jumping was Ann Krasinski, VZ Madden, and McLean Ward. You know, three of the top ones here in the United States for sure. And my guess would have been VZ Madden because she's been on fire lately. And she has a pretty good following. That would have been my guess. So what would have been your guess for that?
McLean Ward.
We're both wrong again. Ann Krasinski.
Man, I suck at this.
Paradressage, which, you know, you probably haven't followed that. The only reason I know any of these people is we did the World Equestrian Games, and it was there, and we interviewed some of them, Mary Jordan, Jonathan Wentz, and Jennifer Baker. I really thought Mary Jordan would win because she's pretty popular in those circles, and it was Jennifer Baker, actually, who won. Jonathan Wentz, we also interviewed, nice guy from Texas. And then reigning, another surprise. Andrea Fapini, I'm sure I said that wrong. No, that's probably right. Sean Florida and Tom McCutcheon. Now, we've interviewed Sean Florida and Tom McCutcheon on this very show. We never had Andrea on, so what would have been your guess there?
Hold up. I'll tell you my guess because, and I think I'm going to get this one right. My cousin is a ringer. And she's this amazing rider, and she's actually going to Oklahoma for the, like, world championships in reining. And she lives in Texas, and her name is Samantha Tippett, and she's awesome. We're going to have her on the show before she goes. So I get an email from her mother, who is actually my cousin, and she says, oh, my God, Samantha almost died. She saw Sean Florida in the warm-ups and just overcame herself, couldn't even speak. So I'm going to go with Sean Florida.
That's my guess, too, because Sean is very popular. We've had him on the show, and he's a very, very nice guy. And he did not win, and neither did Tom. It was Andrea Fapina. I don't know.
It's Andrea Fapani. Fapani? Yeah.
It might be Fapani, but it's a guy, so it's Andrea, I think.
Andrea. Okay. And of course, we're talking about the 2011 America's Favorite Equestrians. Now, all the money that was raised from these votes does go to a good cause, the Equus Foundation. So you can look up that as, I think, equusfoundation.org. And they, you know, they do some good work. So what was the final one?
Final one was vaulting, and the only one I knew here was Megan Benjamin. She's been a gold medalist before. We interviewed her many times on the World Equestrian Games show. And Allie DeVita and Catherine Wick, and the winner, well, I thought would have been Megan, but it was Catherine Wick. So that was the final one was in vaulting. And before we go here, there is a message for you. Somebody is mad at you, Jamie. And that is our phone listener, Aubrey Miller, says, ouch, Jamie, my 30-pound corgi is crushed.
Hey, Aubrey, I have a 20-pound dog, okay? It's not my opinion. It's my husband's. But that is the cutest picture of a corgi I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
I know. Thank you, Aubrey. We appreciate you posting it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Alan, for calling in today and helping me out, getting me off the hook. I could just sit back and laugh. It was great. I'm going to have him calling every day.
I'm going to do a video for Aubrey, and it's when I go to ride my horse on a trail, and I leave the back of my property, and I go down about four houses, these two Dobermans come running out to the fence, and my dogs get on the other side of the fence, and they just snarl and run back and forth, and they act like they're going to kill each other. And then the dragon comes out, streaking across the field at about negative 2 miles an hour is their corgi, who comes with these 2-inch legs and runs the entire length of the field trying to keep up with the Dobermans that are, have been out there for 5 minutes, okay? But it is the cutest, funniest thing because this corgi, it comes out ready to kill. I mean, snarling, wants to fight. I will kill you because it has two Dobermans to protect it. So I'm going to video that for you, Aubrey, and I think it's the cutest thing ever. I would like to thank our guests for being on the show, and I'm not thanking Alan, just to get back to what you were saying. I'm not thanking him for being on the show.
Oh, I'll thank you. Thank you, Alan. Thank you for helping me out. I appreciate it. Part of the Man Nation here at the Horse Radio Network. Everybody, you can find all of our information on our website at horsesinthemorning.com or at horseradionetwork.com. Either one. I do feel kind of bad, though, Janie, about saying, you know, I always end the show with See You at Peeler's, and now See You at Peeler's is like have heart problems. I kind of feel bad about that. So I have to come up with a new ending now.
Now you're done with See You at Peeler's then?
Yeah, because I kind of feel bad. You know, I know it had a double entendre meaning for those of you that listen to the show a lot. But, you know, I kind of feel bad because she's got a heart problem. She may never run again. Feeling bad.
She's going to run again, Glenn. So why don't we just take a break with the TU Appealers until she actually runs again? So you're going to have to come up with something else. So don't tell me what it is. And at the end of tomorrow's show, I want you to have another something that you leave the show with. Because obviously
right,
mine is not going to change.
Stay I'll have another witty itself. Closing.
Witty. Try to be witty, okay? Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Bye, everybody. I don't have a witty one today. It's horrible. Bye.